الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. I welcome all of you with Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Meaning, may peace, mercy and blessings of Almighty God Allah be on all of you. We will see how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was in his dealings with the non-Muslims of his time. There are various examples in his life which exemplifies his great character, his attitude, and him being a role model for all communities to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, especially about the matters of nationalism and racism or tribalism, or even people treating each other differently, as mentioned in Surah Hujurat, Surah number 49, ayah number 13, which says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila li ta'arafu, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum, inna Allaha alimun qabir. His Almighty God says, O human beings, O mankind, you have been made from a single pair of human beings, a male and a female, and made into different nations and tribes and different races, so that you may recognize one another, so that you may understand one another, not that you may despise or fight with each other. The most acceptable or the best in the sight of Almighty God is the one who has taqwa, the one who has God consciousness, the one who is more obedient to the Almighty God. Almighty God is well aware, is all knowing and well acquainted with all things. Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the best role model, is the best example for all of us to follow, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. As mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Hujurat, Surah number 33, ayah number 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Almighty God, Allah says, indeed in the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him, you have the best example, you have the best role model to follow. So this is what, let us see how he dealt with the non-Muslims, being the Muslim community leader and the Prophet of God at that time. Some of the incidents that come to my mind is that he was brought up by his uncle Abu Talib, who was a non-Muslim. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he was very young, his father died even before his birth, and his mother died when he was very young. And he was brought up by his paternal uncle Abu Talib. Now, as soon as Prophet Muhammad came into maturity, he started working and he started earning. He was the one who looked after the house of his uncle, that is Abu Talib. Though he was a non-Muslim, though this was happening before the prophethood, the messengerhood came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his character, his attitude, his dealings with the people were perfect from the beginning. He looked after Abu Talib, he looked after the entire household of Abu Talib, he looked after all the family members of Abu Talib by the very earnings that he, that is Prophet Muhammad, used to earn. Let's move forward and see. There was this man who was the staunchest enemy of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. His name is Abu Jahl. He was the one who would abuse, blaspheme, torture, propagate everything possible against Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But Prophet Muhammad, though this was the staunchest enemy of his, he prays to God. He stands in the middle of the night. He wakes up at night, which is called as the tahajjud prayer, the late night prayers. Especially you see Muslims doing that in Ramadan. They stand up and they pray to God. And this was the special prayer for special du'as, for a special prayer you make to God. And Prophet Muhammad would wake up at night, stand on his feet for hours and make prayer to God. And what is the prayer he's making? He prays to God, O God, give hidayah, give guidance, open the doors of guidance for whom? For Abu Jahl. And one of the famous du'as, the famous prayer that Prophet Muhammad made was, O God, O Allah, give hidayah to one of the two Umars. One Umar is Abu Jahl, and the other Umar was Umar ibn al-Khattab, who later not only became Muslim, but became the second Khalifa, the second Caliph, the second leader, the second ruler of Islam. This shows that Prophet Muhammad was not one of those people who would only say that follow me and leave the rest. He would make sure that even the non-Muslims, even his enemies, were given every right and chance to become the followers of Almighty God. He would pray for his enemies. Look at us today, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, it is so hard for us to even pray for our family members who might be our enemies. You know, if I ask you, pick up your family member with whom you have a little bit of grudge or animosity. Now don't stare at me and don't think that you have no problem with your family members, all right? We all are humans, and these days we have some issues, some problem with one of the family members. It could be your cousin, brother, your uncle, your aunt, someone. Can you imagine yourself waking up at night and making dua, making prayer for him or her? It's absolutely impossible these days because the hatred that we have in our hearts. But Prophet Muhammad, not just he prayed for just another family member, but someone who was an enemy, who would torture him physically, mentally, and was a propagandist against him. Let us see further. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he was the ruler in the city of Medina, there came a Muslim and a Jew. And mind you, at that time, there was a bit of battle happening between the Muslims and the Jewish community. Yet the Jewish man living in the city of Medina under the Islamic rule, he came to Prophet Muhammad with a case where he was dealing with a Muslim. Now, in general, what was expected even by the Jew was that Prophet Muhammad would maybe make the judgment in the favor of Muslim because the Muslim is his follower. But to his surprise, and to the surprise of the Muslims of that time, and to the surprise of the historians of today, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, looking at the case scenario, he passed the judgment in favor of the Jewish man in the city of Medina, to which the Jewish man and the entire Jewish community of that time was surprised that this man, Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a just man, is a man of adl, is a man of equality. He is not partial. He is not favoring anyone just because these people are his followers, but he is standing firm for the truth and justice. Let us see further. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, after the victory of the battle of Makkah. Now remember, Makkah at the time was the bloodshed, was the center of conflicts of all that of the time. The entire global eyes were on the city of Makkah because that is what would decide whether Islam will grow or not, whether Islam was successful or not, whether Islam was victorious or not. And this was something centric at that time. In today's language, contemporary times, without going into the politics of it, it is almost like Israel and Palestine, the land. The people, the world is looking at it. Imagine one of the two sides becomes victorious. What would you expect? Anyone from either side would expect a bloodbath being enforced on the other side. I'm not saying who is right and who is wrong, but all I'm saying here is, if that is the conflict, the people on either side would say, we don't know who would win. And if someone wins, they would expect the other side to be completely crushed, killed, genocided. That was a similar case in Makkah. The disbelievers, the non-Muslims of Makkah, were fighting Muslims in Medina like anything. But then there came a day when the Muslims of Medina, they were victorious back on Makkah. And who were the Makkans? The Makkans were killing, torturing, taking away the possession, the belongings, the wealth of the Muslims who were expelled from the city of Makkah. Now the same Muslims came back to the city of Makkah with an army of 10,000 strong men. And there was the army of Makkah. They gave up. They did not even fight. The leader of Makkah, he gave up. He did not fight. And the army of Muslims and Prophet ﷺ walks into the city of Makkah. On that day, Prophet Muhammad had all the might and power to punish every single non-Muslim in the city of Makkah who deserved the punishment because they killed, tortured, genocided, took away the belongings, took away the possession, took away the wealth of the Muslims of Makkah of that time. And the Makkans have returned. The Muslims have returned to the city of Makkah. And the companions of the Prophet, they are giving a slogan. They are shouting a statement. They are saying, Al-Yawma Yawma Malhama. Today is the day of flesh. Meaning today we will take revenge for everything they did to us. And the Makkans are also prepared. They know their fate because they know what they did to these Muslims before in the past 10 years. Now they are ready to get slaughtered. They are ready to be punished. They are ready to be killed because they knew that is what they did with them. But look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his dealing towards these non-Muslims. He turns to the companions of his who are ready to take revenge. He turns to them and he says, he changes the slogan from Al-Yawma Yawma Malhama to Al-Yawma Yawma Marhama. He says, now today is the day of forgiveness. Today is the day of mercy. I say, the Christians, they call Jesus, peace be upon him, as the Prince of Peace because he forgave his enemies on the cross when he did not have the might and the power technically in the world at that time, but Prophet Muhammad, in the same breath, if he is to be given a title to forgive all his enemies, though he had a military, though he had all the power in his hands, yet he forgave them. So I say, if Jesus, peace be upon him, was the Prince of Peace, then Muhammad, peace be upon him, should be called the King of Peace for forgiving his enemies, though when he had all the power and the might in his hands. I would like to conclude with another incident. He went to the city of Taif to invite the people of the city of Taif to the religion of Allah. He wanted to invite them to the religion of Allah to save them from the hellfire on the day of judgment. But the people of Taif, they pelted stones on Prophet Muhammad so much that the writers, the historians, they write that he was bleeding from head to toe, that the blood from head would almost drip down to his feet and he fall unconscious. Then came the angel of Almighty God, the angel of mountains. He appeared to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And the Prophet came back to the consciousness. And the angel was angry. The angel said, "Oh, messenger of God, for what the people of Taif have done to you, I will destroy them and crush them within the very two mountains they live in." Prophet Muhammad turned to the angel and he said, "No." He said, "Spare them, for they are unaware with the message with which I have come. They do not know who I am. They do not know with what message I have come." Do you see the mercy and forgiveness that he had for the non-Muslims of his time? So much that from the very city of Taif, there came a man by the name Muhammad bin Qasim in the next generation. He traveled all the way to the Indian subcontinent at that time, which was India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, parts of Afghanistan put together. And the people who are millions in millions today who are Muslims, they became Muslim through the teachings, through the conveyance, through the dawah of this man, this companion, or this person from the next generation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the very city of Taif. So Prophet Muhammad forgave and was merciful to anyone and everyone, whether Muslims or non-Muslims. It is for this reason that Almighty God Allah called him in the Quran as Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy for all the creations, for Muslims as well for non-Muslims. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.